Morning. Didn't really trust myself that chair being there. I'll trip on it. So I don't know. I don't know why it's there. I thought it was an interesting, maybe it's an experiment in psychology. It's up here. The first person moved it just a little. The next person moved it just a little. Nobody knew why it was up here. So I'm just moving. If anybody knows why and it's supposed to be there, you can let me know afterwards. You guys can turn your Bibles to the book of Romans. Romans chapter 8. Couple great things from public reading. You know, if you pay attention to the scripture, there's always plenty to learn and think about, isn't there? I like this one. Set your house in order, for you shall die and not live. Rather than the words of wisdom for anybody who would listen. Death comes to every single person. We don't all get an indicator right before we go. But the scripture tells us, set your house in order. If your spiritual house is in order, if it's not in order and it's your day to go, eternity is a long time. Just want to remind you of that. You have no higher priority in your life than to make sure you know where you stand for eternity. And honestly, I can't think of anything more foolish than to avoid that or put that off. Lots of things Scripture gives us to think about. All right, let's get to Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8, we will read the last verses. We are finishing up Romans chapter 8 today, Lord willing. And, man, I don't like my notes that I put together on this. So I can't decide if I'm going to wing it or I'm going to do my notes. I'm probably going to do some combination which could come out interesting. So, hey, you guys listen up and we'll pay attention to what the scripture says here. Romans chapter 8, beginning verse 35. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? Just as is written, for thy sake we are being put to death all day long. We were considered as sheep to be slaughtered. But in all these things we overwhelmingly conquer through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we do praise your great and glorious name. If you have told us in Romans chapter 8 leading up to this, that Christ Jesus, he who died, yes, rather, who is raised, who is at the right hand of God, who also intercedes for us. Lord, we praise you for raising Jesus Christ from the dead. We praise you that he is our mediator, that he is our high priest, always living to make intercession on our behalf. We praise you that he is the King. The King who's coming again in righteousness and in judgment to wage war. Lord, we're appreciative for the privilege that you have given us to be on your side, to come with him triumphantly. Lord, eternity with you is something that we look forward to greatly, that we long for. That we are really continuing to press onwards for the upward call, Father, of you in Christ Jesus our Lord. I ask that you be with me today as I preach your word, that I would be able to communicate clearly, and Lord, that we would, each one of us, would really think about what it means, the mindset that it is to be an overwhelming conqueror through Jesus Christ. I ask this all through the name of Jesus. Amen. You know, just a couple things by way of introduction. You know, verse 35 says, "Who shall separate us from the love of Christ?" And then it goes and starts listing a bunch of things, and we're going to talk about those things. But the reality of it is, brethren, I'm going to tie this in, if I remember, at the end, there's only one who that could ever separate you from the love of Jesus Christ, and that's you. All the stuff can't. And all of the other who's, including angels and principalities, can't do that. There's nobody that can separate except you. And so, the Lord wants us to have the right mindset to understand, you know, this life, guys, is difficult. And at some point, every one of us, we gotta lock in, we gotta say, inside, deep down inside, I am gonna make it with the help of Jesus Christ. I am gonna win with the help of Jesus Christ. No matter what it takes, I will cross that finish line victorious to be with the Lord forever. I remember still a very very graphic picture in my mind. A lady who, this was years ago, I want to say like late 70s, 80s, somewhere in there, the Ironman triathlon. This was, you know, when this first became the thing. And the lady was a college student and I think getting her master's or something. And she had decided to do this for her master's, take this on, what it was going to take to actually to finish this Ironman triathlon. If I remember Ironman triathlon, I'm not much of a swimmer. I can't remember what the swim is. Anybody remember off the top of their head? How many? 2 mile swim. A 212 mile bike ride, I believe. 112. Okay, thank you, Larry. 112 mile bike ride followed by a marathon run, 26 miles. This lady had trained for it. She found her, and but she was just doing this as part of her schooling. She found herself in first place. But somewhere towards the last part, she bonked, man. I mean, she crashed. Her body shut down on her. And, you know, to where she lost control of her bodily functions. That's how far her body was gone. This lady crawled across the finish line. I think she finished in second place. But brother, I want you to set in your mind, whatever it takes, you will cross that finish line victorious. Life's going to throw at us some curves. One of the things he mentions in here at the end of it, he says, I'm convinced that neither death nor life. Life has some things that are a little bit surprising at times, the difficulties that come our way. But you set your mind that through Jesus Christ, you are going to be an overwhelming conqueror. I want you to go back with me for just a second to the book of Jeremiah. Jeremiah chapter 12. Because I want to get on and preach this and give us this overwhelming conqueror type of mindset. But I want you to consider with me first the serious nature of this. Like, guys, you aren't gonna just slide through into heaven. Okay? You aren't gonna just barely make it. You aren't just gonna get lucky and somehow, you know, slide through that narrow gate and cruise on that narrow path. It doesn't work that way. And one time Jesus says, strive to enter by the narrow gate. Many try to and they're not able. I like the way he says it in Jeremiah chapter 12, verse 5. He says, if you've run with footmen and they've tired you out, then how can you compete with horses? If you fall down in the land of peace, how will you do in the thicket of the Jordan? Brethren, right now we are in a land of peace. Some of the things I'm going to preach about this morning, actually, I'm a little bit ashamed that the things that I'm going to preach about us being put to death all day long for Christ's sake aren't really what they should be. I mean, the things that I have to mention, they're just kind of the physical things that everybody in life goes through. I'm just going to pull from Hebrews, you've not yet resisted, and I'll just say this to myself, okay, you can take it how you want to, but you have not yet resisted the point of shedding blood and you're striving against sin. Brother, some of us, the reality of it is, we struggle with our attitudes in a land of peace. Some of us, we struggle to win. It's just the everyday things of this life. How are you going to compete with the horses? How are you going to do in a land of war? Because, brother, I'm convinced in the United States of America, there is persecution coming. If you can't survive right now with the right mindset, if you can't have a good attitude, if you can't be tough and overwhelmingly conquer, what makes you think you're going to do it when it gets tough? It's something every one of us needs to think about. Because this race of life, Brian, is tough. We're going to need to learn to rely on the Lord through Jesus Christ. And I will just say this, every one of us right now, we are either preparing to win or preparing to lose every single day with the way that we respond to the adversity that we face. This life, we know it's a little tough. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? You know what that reminds me of? Hebrews chapter 11. Description of the faithful there at the end. Let's actually turn there really quick. I'm gonna pick up the pace here. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 35. I know you guys would be disappointed if it took me like 20 messages instead of 19 to finish Romans 8. So we'll try to get through this here. But Hebrews chapter 11. Verses 35 through 38, women received back their dead by resurrection, and others were tortured, not accepting their release, in order that they might obtain a better resurrection. I don't know if you guys have, if you're weird like me, but I kind of find it intriguing sometimes, the torture systems, okay? The different tortures that people have endured, you know, martyred for Christ. Those kinds of things, to read about that and think about that. You know, there's some pretty creative torturers out there. Personally, the one that I, you know, it's been pretty prevalent here recently and that I'm concerned with my love of water is waterboarding. Man, that'd be a fun way to go, wouldn't it? Get you there all the way till you're drowning and then let you come back and get you there. Anyways, tortured. Not accepting their release, in order they might obtain a better resurrection. Others experience mockings and scourgings. Somebody recently was talking about the scourgings, okay, particularly of Christ. Yes, also chains and imprisonment. They were stoned. They were sawn in two. They were tempted. They were put to death with the sword. They went about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, ill-treated. Men of whom the world was not worthy, wandering in deserts and mountains and caves and holes in the ground. Any of you guys ever heard of John Coulter? John Coulter? One of the original, I guess we could say, kind of trappers back in the day. Back in the days of Lewis and Clark. I'm not sure I get that exactly the right time. But, you know, John Coulter got captured by a tribe of Native Americans. I forget. I'm just going off the top of my head. I told you I'm winging some of this today. But, you know, they caught him and they stripped him naked. This is over in the Three Forks area. They stripped him naked and said, we're gonna give you a head start. You start running. And we're coming after you with our spears and everything else. So he's totally naked, bare feet, everything, and that guy got to go run. And he runs, and I think it ends up like a seven mile run. He ends up hiding in a hollow log somewhere, and they can't find him. And he comes out of there, and he survives. But he wasn't in very good shape, okay, physically, after that. You can imagine. Brother, we got an adversary. The devil, he prowls about like a roaring lion, seeking somebody to devour. At some point, we got a gut check. Do I have what it takes with the help of the Lord to make it? We're going to experience those kinds of things at a spiritual level. You're going to run. And you're going to hide. And you're going to be stripped naked. And you are going to find a way to either make it or the adversary is going to overpower you. Old Testament faithful. They got it. They were persecuted. My buddy Marvin Bowling from Florida, he did a series a few years back, study series that he called As the Sparks Fly Upward. And he took it from the book of Job. And the bottom line, guys, is we got trouble in this life. Scripture says we're going to have it. We get it. You know, Job confirms it. His friend Eliphaz says it first, and then Job confirms it. And, you know, I could just ask you guys. When I Bible study with people, I start, and very early on, I just talk about a little bit about the foundations that like Justin was talking about today and Nolan mentioned, you know, and whether or not your life is found on the rock. But one thing that I talk about is storms of life. And I just ask people, hey, you know, I share with them a couple of my storms in my life. I ask them what storms they got. People have storms. Our experiences confirm what the Scripture says, that man is born for trouble. You aren't going to get through this thing unhindered. We got family members, health struggles. We got financial problems. We got emotional struggles. We got relationship problems. And whatever fits you. Talked about Job a little bit last week. Good man, righteous, devoted to God. God allowed Satan to test his faith. And Job lost everything that he had. You know, guys, Job had a good attitude. And so I don't know what he was like, but here's a guy, he had everything. You know, sometimes every once in a while I hang out with people who are a little better off than me, and it's amazing to me. You know, they eat something that to me is like, woo, and they're like, yeah, it wasn't that good. And I'm like, what? Okay. You know, hey, Job, he had it all, didn't he? That's a rich man. And he loses everything. His riches are gone. His children are gone. Job was such... He cared so much about his children. Then on their birthday, he himself had a special time of prayer just in case, and sacrifices, just in case they had done something wrong and hadn't got it covered with God. He cared about his children. Gone. Job's own wife ends up working against him. We talked last week about Job's health. His own wife ends up working against him. She says, curse God and die. Is that, you know... I'm not trying to say I don't care about you guys. I do care about you all, and I care a little bit still what people think about me. I try not to, but there's one person I care a lot about what she thinks about me, and that's my wife. I can't imagine Julie saying, just quit. Shut down and quit. The person who's your greatest support in the world telling you, curse God and shut her down. Die. But through all this, Job never lost his faith. I like the way he says it in Job 13, verse 15. He says, though he slay me, I will hope in him. Isn't that what Romans 8 says? For your sake, we are being put to death all day long. We know the end of the story, though. I like the way God communicates to us. We get to read the end of the book of Job. Job didn't get to see that, did he? I mean, not during it, not before it. You've heard of the endurance of Job. It's the way that James says it. And have seen the outcome of the Lord's dealings. The Lord is full of compassion and is merciful. We get to see the end. The Lord restored the fortunes of Job. But in the moment, in the midst of that pain, what was it that kept Job ticking? How did he keep his faith? How did he continue to trust in the Lord? That's not just Job. Guys, you can go through Old Testament faithful after Old Testament faithful. I don't have time to do that today. Hopefully you've been reading your Bible. Those things are written for our instruction, upon whom the ends of the ages have come. All those Old Testament things, David and Goliath, isn't really about David the shepherd boy and Goliath the giant. I mean, it's about us. It's about us who follow in the footsteps of the King, who David was a foreshadow of. When we face the giants in our life. Somebody recently, I think it was Nolan, talked about Paul and the persecutions that he had gone through. And we see this in the New Testament. We know Jesus himself, what he encountered. But how did these faithful people get through this? Brother, they looked ahead to Christ. One thing that Job says, he says, I know that my Redeemer lives. I know that one day I'm going to see him. Job was looking ahead to Christ. Because we're blessed when we live. The time in which we live, we've seen Christ publicly displayed as crucified. We've seen Christ raised from the dead. We've seen Christ seated on the throne. Where are we supposed to have our eyes? Doesn't the writer of Hebrews tell us, fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. So, sufferings. What are the purpose of these sufferings? They're not here to separate us from Christ. They're actually here to help us be closer to Him. Let's go to Philippians. Philippians chapter 1. Philippians 1 verse 29. For to you it's been granted for Christ's sake not only to believe in Him, but also to suffer for His sake, experiencing the same conflict which you saw in me and now here to be in me. Brother, it's a blessing when we get to suffer for His sake. It's one thing to encounter just the various things of this life. It's another thing to suffer because of Jesus Christ. In the Sermon on the Mount, does Jesus say that rejoice? When men revile you and persecute you and say all kinds of evil against you falsely on account of my name, rejoice and be glad. Your reward in heaven is great. Nolan was talking about when we do. You know, when we do, that's when we understand. Brother, there's only one way we can really understand Christ fully, and that's by being a participant with Him in the gospel completely. When we're immersed into Christ, we are crucified with Christ. Our body of sin is done away with. We are raised with Christ. And then we go out and we carry this out then on our lives, don't we? The dying of Jesus, don't we carry that about in our body? And that's where we really get to know what this means. You know, the waters themselves, when we hit those waters, it's not that the water's so cold, that the water's so clean, or that the water's so gross, or that the water's so warm, or none of that has anything to do with it. It's like, okay, God does a work there, and then from that day forward, we carry it with us, and we get to understand and experience with Christ His death. Let's flip forward to chapter 3 of Philippians. I'm just going to read one verse here in the middle of context. Philippians 3 verse 10, that I may know Him and the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of His sufferings, being conformed to His death. You guys might know it from a team experience. When you run lines together with other people on your team till you're puking, there's a fellowship that you get. They're going through adversity together. When you've been in difficult situations and you've come out victorious, hey, you found a way to stick together and have each other's back. Military stuff, these guys really understand this. I've known many a military guy, and I remember one guy in particular. He'd been a Marine, and when he signed up to be a Marine, he said, "Man, I bought their lies," you know. And he said, "I figured out when I was in this thing, I didn't believe what we were fighting for. I realized, but he said, at that point in time, when you're in the midst of battle, you don't care about any of that. You have your guys, and you are fighting to keep them alive. You, guys, the fellowship of Christ's sufferings, when we get to experience this, we understand more what Jesus has gone through for us. When we get involved in the gospel and we actually lay down our lives so that somebody else can make it to heaven, it makes us appreciate the sacrifice Jesus made for us all the more. Amen? There's a fellowship of His sufferings that we understand. There's a closeness that we have. I think about it, brethren, in this way. I like to play basketball from time to time with my brothers in Christ. I like to maybe go to a Super Bowl party every so often with my brothers and sisters in Christ. I might like to play some ultimate frisbee, and you probably aren't going to talk me into scuba diving lessons or anything, but I like to hang out with... Somebody tried to do that recently. Like, that's why waterboarding was probably on my brain today. But, okay, that kind of stuff, yeah, it's fun to hang. But you know what I like to do? More than anything else, where I get to know you and where I'm a participant with you, is when we get to do spiritual warfare together. We get to do a Bible study together with a lost person. I mean, we find out about each other's character, and there's some things we're trying to figure out. What do we do to help this person make it? And what can we give? And what can we sacrifice? And how can we teach this better? And how can we... Man, there is fellowship there. Amen? We get to do this for Christ every single day, brethren. We are with Christ in that, aren't we? Every single minute of every day, we should be. Experience this with Christ. And this is where I think the world has this all backwards, and the religious world has this all backwards, the way it's sold. If you're selling this as God's whole intent is just to save you, is just to rescue you, and please don't misunderstand me, Christ is our Savior. He is our rescuer. And no question about that. The Lord knows how to rescue the godly from temptation. Aren't you thankful for that? But if God's only goal is to save you and rescue you, then why wouldn't it be that when you become a Christian, everything is just easy? That's not the only goal. We've seen that. We've gone through Romans. The goal is to produce the obedience of faith among us. The goal is to perfect us, to be conformed to the image of God's Son. Whatever sufferings it is that we go through, they make sense when you understand this is about training and perfecting. Not just about rescuing. God rescued us. And He continues to. But we are going to run the gauntlet. And we're going to learn how to get through this with His help. Personally, I'm thankful for that. Through this process, we do get the opportunity to bring others to the light as well. I don't know what external circumstances you're going through. I'm going to let you put that in there. I don't know what sort of persecutions you're going through for Christ, because we do. Every stand that we take for Christ, hey, we impact some people. A lot of people respect us for us, and some people hate us for it. Some people, they feel guilty automatically. You walk into a room, and by you taking a stand, just by you not swearing or by not participating in the crude discussions that are going on, hey, people, why does that bother people so much? Just by you not participating. Peter talks about it a little bit. They're surprised that you do not run with them into the same excess of dissipation, and they malign you. The reason they do that, guys, it bothers their conscience. They know what they're doing isn't right. Whatever degree of that it is, I hope that you're rejoicing in Christ. Let's go back to Romans 8. Romans 8, verse 36, just as it is written, "For thy sake we are being put to death all day long. We were considered as sheep to be slaughtered." David felt that way, didn't he? He knew. He had a purpose in his life. And that purpose was ultimately for Christ to be glorified. We know Jesus Himself, the perfect example. Isaiah 53, the Lord was pleased to crush Him on our behalf. So, let me just ask you this. If suffering was... Doesn't Jesus say that it was necessary for Christ, the Christ to suffer and then to enter into glory? If suffering was necessary for Christ to enter into glory, then what we expect as His younger siblings, that we would have to run the same course? By the way, you want a good read? I think Josh Gould recently started preaching a little bit through 1 Peter. I mean, 1 Peter is about you keeping a great attitude in the midst of sufferings for doing what's right. That's what that book is really about. So, you know, in John, let's turn to John 15. I just want to tell you this. I've been accused before of having a persecution complex. Guys, if you know me, and I'm not saying this to sound arrogant or anything else, but Christ lives in me and I have a great attitude. That's the way I live my life. I have a great attitude every single day. Okay? I'm going to say by faith every single moment of every single day. But I keep my attitude up because Christ lives in me. And you guys that know me know that. I don't have a persecution complex, but I know what Jesus has said. And Jesus had said, and these are my words I put on it, but the road to glory is paved with suffering. You're not going to miss that. So you might as well do what the Scripture says and consider it all joy when you encounter various trials. Before I start Romans 9, I think I'm going to preach a message I want to preach next week. I think we just got to toughen up, guys. We got to toughen up. Hey, we live in a culture that, you know, you sue McDonald's you go and buy a coffee and then you spill it on yourself and you sue them for not warning you it's hot? What in the world? You know, it's just ridiculous to me. But anyways, I'm saving that for next week. John chapter 15, verse 20. Let's start in verse 18. Jesus says, if the world hates you, you know that it's hated me before it hated you. If you were of the world would love its own. But because you are not of the world, but I chose you out of the world, therefore the world hates you. Remember the word that I said to you. A slave is not greater than his master. If they persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they kept my word, they will keep yours also. You know, it's an interesting thing to me. People do respect us. Because we carry ourselves the way that Christ did. And the average person respected Christ too. But you ever notice when it comes down to it, though? You do what's right, you do what's right, you do what's right, and people respect you and they like you and they'll talk to you in private and they'll appreciate you. But when it comes down to it, in terms of choosing sides, the world just can't pick your side. It's that sword, that sword of truth. It makes people take stands that they don't want to take. If they take them, they'd be Christians. So all your neighbors that like you because you treat them right, that's great. But don't misunderstand something. When the time comes and you're going to be persecuted for Christ and they're looking and they want to know where you live and what you got and where you're at on the block, your nice neighbors that love you because you've shoveled their sidewalks and driveways for them when they couldn't, and you've done that, they are going to turn you in. It's the way it is. So, these are they nailed Jesus to the cross. They're going to do that. Do what's right anyways. For Christ's sake, for God's sake, we are being put to death all day long. In this, sometimes, brother, in the moment, it can look like the devil's winning. The devil is the master of charades. It looks like he's winning. If you're looking at numbers, he's winning. And he has really three-pronged warfare against the church that the book of Revelation talks about. Persecution is one. False doctrine is one. And temptation is one. Those are areas that the devil really works in to try to take out the church. But I can't really recommend this movie. I don't know how I ended up even seeing it back. It's an old movie, Robert Redford, Paul Newman, called The Sting. But the one thing I found interesting, there was a double sting going on. I didn't get it till the end. But you know, the devil's running a stinger operation on the world. There's no doubt about that. But what the devil didn't understand prior to the cross, and what nobody in the world understands, God's running one on the devil. God's got the devil right where he wants him. You read the book of Revelation, and guys, no matter what the difficulties are, no matter what hurdles that Satan's putting in front of you, no matter how much he's trying to thwart you and what you're trying to do for the Lord, you understand. God does govern this world in the interests of His church. God protects His people. Those who are sealed with Christ, God is a protection to us. And we read the back of the book and we win. The cross, it communicates so many things. But one of the most beautiful things about the cross and the ensuing resurrection and ascension is the very worst that the devil could come up with. The absolute worst. God turned to the greatest good. If I'm ever struggling with my attitude, I just think about that for a second. I like this. I'm going to read it. I've read it before. It's a quote from James Stewart of Scotland. He's talking about a passage from Ephesians chapter 4. But he says it's a glorious phrase. He led captivity captive. The very triumphs of his foes, it means, he used for their defeat. He compelled their dark achievements to subserve his end, not theirs. They nailed him to the tree, not knowing that by that very act, they were bringing the world to his feet. They gave him a cross, not guessing that he would make it a throne. They flung him outside the gates to die, not knowing that in that very moment, they were lifting up all the gates of the universe to let the king come in. They thought to root out his doctrines, not understanding that they were implanting imperishably in the hearts of men the very name they intended to destroy. They thought they had defeated God with his back to the wall, pinned and helpless and defeated. They did not know that it was God himself who had tracked them down. He did not conquer in spite of the dark mystery of evil. He conquered through it. Brethren, Jesus is our example. He did it. And he tells us the same thing. We are not victims. We are victors. Through him, we overwhelmingly conquer. Through all these things, we overwhelmingly conquer through him who loves us. You know, God does cause all things to work together for good. But if you're letting your attitude get down, if you're getting a little despairing, if you're... lift up your eyes and look. Put your trust in God. We overwhelmingly conquer through him who loves us. You know, that passage I mentioned started with who? Who can separate? Who can separate us from the love of Christ? And then it gives a list of things. The only who that could ever separate is you. Stay connected. Lock in. Through your Bible reading, through your prayer, through doing the Word. All these things. Be participant with Christ. Understand the fellowship of His sufferings. Anybody else besides me read the back of this book? I haven't just read the back of Job. We know what happened with Job. You've seen the outcome of the Lord's dealings. The Lord is full of compassion and is merciful. But I read the back of Revelation. And we win. You stay with Christ. No matter what the odds are against you, no matter how difficult, no matter how much the devil's got you pinned in a corner, you stick with Jesus Christ. We win. Let's stand.